The Hebrews, please. Last week we talked about his strength being eternal. His strength endureth forever. What endures forever? And a lot of folks believe that nothing endures forever, nothing lasts forever, but that's not entirely true. Things that deal with the Lord, a lot of them do last forever. And we've been talking about them. We know his mercy lasts forever, and boy, we're thankful for his mercy lasting forever. His righteousness, his praise, his name, and his memorial last forever. His word lasts forever. Praise the Lord for that. And his strength lasts forever. Glory to God. Don't go in your own strength. Go in the strength of the Lord. His strength will be there forever. Your strength is going to fail, but his will never fail. And we talked about that last week, about going in our own strength being a bad idea. Doing things for your own self being a bad idea. If you're going to do something, do it for the Lord. And if you're going to do it for the Lord, let him do it through you. And if that happens, then you won't be upset when nobody talks about you. You won't be upset when nobody praises you. You won't be upset when nobody claps for you. You won't be upset when the preacher forgets to name your name. You won't be upset when the one call doesn't get put out about the things you've done. You'll be happier if you do them for the Lord. Because we're generally stupid and we forget. Amen? So you got to understand that if we do things for the Lord, I think if we all would join hand in hand and say we're going to do it for the Lord and not for ourselves and not for our own self-praise and gratification, if we do them for the right reasons, I believe we'll be much happier. So that's what we talked about last week. This week, we're going to talk about Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 12. Hopefully, we're going to get through this. I believe we'll get through two of them today. Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 12. The Bible says, "For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness," that's that enduring mercy that lasts forever, "I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more." Now that's an exciting, exciting passage. And it's exciting because it lets us, it is the precursor or the runway, so to speak, or the cleared path, so to speak, to the fact that we have eternal security. Now, eternal security, and we'll get to that a little bit later as well, what lasts forever, your security lasts forever. But we'll get to that in a minute. But in order for that to happen, the Lord's got to have a way. He's got to have the ability. And by the way, you don't have this ability. I'm going to stop here just for 1 second. He says, "Your sins and iniquities will I remember no more." That lasts forever, by the way. Understand this. He had to pay a great price to do that. That great price was he had to send his only begotten son to the cross at Calvary. That's a great price. You wouldn't pay that price. I wouldn't pay that price. I would not send my son Luke to Calvary for people that hated him. I wouldn't send Luke to the cross for people that love him. I would never send my son to the cross. Never. But God did because he loves you. Loves you beyond measure. Now his sins and iniquities I will remember no more. A lot of times we place on ourselves the fact that we are supposed to forgive and forget. I've heard that millions of times. How many have ever heard that statement, forgive and forget? I've heard preachers say and teachers teach that until you forget, you never truly forgive. I've heard that lots of times. It preaches real good. It's the dumbest thing you'll ever hear, but it preaches real good. Okay? Now understand this. You say, "Well, preacher, what are you saying? That we shouldn't forgive and forget?" I've never met anybody yet that could. Unless you have Alzheimer's or something. You can't forget what people have done. You don't have that ability. God has that ability. You do not have that ability. Now, I'm saying these things to help you. Help you in the fact that, you know where the Bible talks about how many times should I forgive my brother? The Bible, and the Lord says, shall I forgive him 7 times? And the Lord says, you shall forgive him 70 times 7. Now, Brother Bill, I'm not a completely intelligent man, but I believe I've got this handled. If you could forgive and forget, how many times would you have to forgive? If you could forget, after you forgive, you don't have to forgive 1 time. Is that not correct? I'm just trying to put math today. I know it's a little tired, and I understand that, but this is what bothers me about folks. You live your entire life with this guilt and turmoil over the fact that you can't forget what somebody has done to you. And by the way, somebody will do something to you that you will hang on to and have your entire life. That's why the Lord says you need to forgive over and over and over and over. It could be that same thing. It could be that same instance. Continuing to forgive over and over and over. Why? Because you're a Christian and a human. The thought process that you can say, I'm going to forget and I'm so great that I'm going to forget what's happened to me, is the craziest notion you'll ever have. You will live with guilt the rest of your life because you can't forget what that person has done. I'll give you a great example. Let's say a thief comes in here. Let's say he robs the offering plate. He takes this and puts it in his pocket. Are you going to allow that person to have the offering plates in their hands? Now, wait a minute. Is it a sin to take this? Can you forgive them? But will you forget about it? Amen? Now, you can forgive them, but you are not going to allow that person to be an usher at Bethel Baptist Church. For reasons that I don't think I need to illustrate. You're not going to do that, and the Lord doesn't want you to do that. The Lord has the ability, the sins and iniquities is remembering no more, the sins and iniquities that if you're saved, those sins and iniquities, if he had to remember them, would keep you out of heaven. But he died so he could forget. He died, he sent his only begotten son to have the ability to say, I'm never going to remember those sins and iniquities anymore because I want you to be in heaven with me. What a wonderful thing that God has done. What a wonderful thing that the Lord has done, being able as God to say, I'm going to have all of those sins and iniquities under the blood of my son. I'm going to have all those sins, all those bad things that you're going to do, even the ones in the past, sure, but he's already forgiven you for what you're going to do. He's already forgotten what you're going to do. He's such a good God that he's taken care of everything. And his forgetfulness is always going to be there. It's always going to endure. What a great thought. He's not going to be God someday and eventually say, you know what? I've changed my thought. I'm now going to remember from here on out everything that Coolidge Greer does wrong. Thank God he doesn't do that. Thank God he's a God that never changes. Thank God he's a God that cannot lie. Thank God he's a God that forgets what he has done. I will remember them no more. Is that not what the Bible says? Your sins and iniquities will I remember no more. You can take great hope in that, that when you mess up, how many have messed up this morning? This morning. I'm going to tell you, I almost launched my dog into next week this morning. I'm not a good pet owner. You all know, I just do not do very well having pets. And my dog did something this morning that drives me right up the tree, and I almost put the dog up the tree. Now, that is not right. It's not right to act that way. It's not right to be that way. I thank God that I've got a God that says, I know your frame. God knows I'm a bad pet owner. He fully expects me to be an idiot. Amen? And by the way, he knew I was going to mess up this morning. What a great God we have. He knows what's coming. God's the beginning and the end. You say, I can't figure out how he can forget. I don't care how he can forget. I'm just glad he did. Amen. Amen. I love preachers. They try so hard to explain why God does what he does. He's God. I don't know how he does what he does, why he does what he does. I'm just glad he does what he does. I'm so excited that he knows that I'm a mess. I'm so excited that he knows my frame. He knows my heart. And how many times have you had in yourself, oh, I'm such a wretch. I'm worthless. I'm so guilty. And your heart condemns you. Well, the Bible's got a verse for that too. When your heart condemns you, God is greater than your heart. Boy, we serve a great God. We serve a great God that's willing to let you breathe on this earth even though you're a mess. He's willing to let you serve him even though you're a mess. I'm going to tell you guys that served in the military, if you treated your drill sergeant your drill instructor like you treat God. How many push-ups would you do? Amen? Your drill instructor told you to do something, what'd you do? You snapped right to it and got right after it. If you didn't do that, you were doing push-ups and probably getting a blanket party in the evening. Amen? Thank God, God doesn't work that way. See, what's amazing about God in this what endures for eternity thought here, I'm going to be a sinner the rest of my life. And so are you. We're going to sin the rest of our lives. Can't get away from it. You're going to do it. But God is so much greater than that. How can God be greater than that? How can He love me enough, preacher? How can He love me enough to let me continue to fail over and over? I'm glad. I know I fail. I know I do. I know that God's going to have a major spot of amnesia with me. I know that. And I'm thankful for it. Because I am a sinner. And so are you. Aren't you glad there's never going to be a day, if you're saved in here, and by the way, if He can't forget your sins and iniquities, if He can't take care of that, He can't take care of your salvation. This is doctrinal. This forgetfulness is doctrinal. If He can't do this, if His sacrifice wasn't enough, then He can't save us. But because it was enough, and because He can put all of that under the blood of His Son, that perfect, wonderful, undeserving sacrifice of His Son, because of that, He's able to forget what we have done and forget what we're going to do and forget what we're doing right now. He can do all those things, and I know that I can grab a hold of the fact that one day I'm going to see heaven. One day I'm going to see heaven, not because of one thing that I have done, but because of all the things that He has done. What a great God we have. I mean, I get excited about that. I get excited because I know that I'm going to sin today. I get excited and I know that sin. I don't know how churches do it. I don't know how preachers preach it. I don't know how preachers preach it. You don't have eternal security. I don't know how they do it. How do you sleep at night? How do you sleep at night knowing that you got to get baptized over and over and over again? How do you sleep at night knowing you got to get saved over and over and over again? How do you sleep at night knowing you got to get saved again? Man alive, I hope and pray that when He comes back, those guys are in the middle of saying the prayer again. See, we cannot get saved over and over and over again. That's not our job. That's God's job to hold on to your salvation. Not our job. We couldn't do it. We don't have the ability. God has that ability. And I'm so thankful He keeps it and holds on to it. Now this is where you are. Well, then maybe I should go out and drink some alcohol. Hey, it's forgiven. It's under the blood, right? Hey, wait. Maybe I should smoke some dope. That's what I should do. Maybe I should go out and listen to my rock and roll music in the car. Maybe I should do the things I'm not supposed to do. Maybe I should look at some pornography. Let me tell you something. God's forgiven you of that. But you should not use those things. Use the liberty that God has given you and go out and sin yourself. What you need to look at it as is God has paid everything. Don't you think you should try to pay Him back? Don't you think that we should try to live holier? We're not going to do it. We're not, but shouldn't you aspire? When you go to work, do you try to be the worst employee in the place? Come on, do you walk in disheveled? Do you walk in alcohol on your breath? Do you walk in and tell the boss he's an idiot? Do you walk in and do, some of you might do that. I hope you don't do that. But do you walk in and you're thinking when you start the day, I'm going to be the worst employee ever. Do you do that? No, and you may not like the employer. You may not like what they tell you. You may not like those things. But you'll get up at 6 o'clock in the morning every morning, and you'll try to get there on time, and you'll do your best to be a good employee and do all those things you should. You don't have to be a good employee, but you do those things. Why? Because you've got a boss that, and you need to make that money, and you need to work for him, and we'll treat the world so good. And we'll treat God not so good. And he's the one that's forgiving you of all that sin. And even when you do those things, God, he is so good. Even when you do those things, he looks down and says, man, I still love you. You mess up like that at your employer, he's going to fire you and not look back. And by the way, as a Christian, just a side note, you ought to be the best employee they have. Because you're a Christian, you represent God over no matter where you go. You represent him, and you ought to be the best employee that they've got. And in this day and age, you better be a good employee because you've got 17 waiting behind you to get your job. I don't care if it's $10 an hour, $12. You better be a good employee because you've got somebody behind you waiting to get that job. This is something that is so wonderful. This is something so simple, but so wonderful that it's been paid in full. It's something that you can't grasp. If you sit and think about it, you can't grasp. Turn to Romans real quick. These verses, where the righteousness of God, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, how his righteousness endures forever. The Bible says in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein, inside this gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. Now listen to me. What does this mean to you? God must have that sacrifice. He must have that way. What was that way that he's got this ability to forget what we have done? This ability was shown in his son, this righteousness of God. He must be able to have that payment. The wages of sin is death. He must have that wage. He must have that blood sacrifice. For without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. He must have this. And that's why this forgetfulness is so important. The only way he's got the ability to do that is through that righteousness that he's got. That righteousness that's revealed in his son. That righteousness that God said, I must have a sacrifice. I must pour the sins of the whole world on my son. The son that didn't deserve this, the son that lived the right life, the son that was the perfect, unblemished sacrifice without spot, without blemish, that sacrifice, he poured it all on him in that cup, in that bitter cup, poured it all on him. Why? For you and for me. So he could have the ability to forget what we have done. Those sins have already been paid for. What a great God we have. Jordan, he was willing rather to put your sin on his son. Why can't we make God personal? Oh, he forgave Coolidge's sin. He put his son on that cross for the sins of David Ballard. He decided, I'm not going to punish David. Can you grab a hold of that for a minute with me? I'm not going to punish you. I'm not going to punish David Ballard. I'm going to punish my son. So I can have the ability to not remember what David has done. Now, God has that ability. Please, don't think. I'm not lessening God. I'm saying how great he is. He scourged his son for my sins. God did that. God allowed that. Christ allowed that. For me. That's why it's personal. For me. You say you don't sin, you deceive yourself. So that sin that you do is on that cross. Yours. personally. What a great God we have. What a great God we have. So we go from forgetfulness, your life, what endures for eternity. His forgetfulness endures for eternity. Here's something else. Our life endures for eternity. See, these two go hand in hand. See, you're not going to get to heaven unless you've got a way to get there. And he's made that way for you. Oh, I know that this is elementary. I know you've heard this before. But this is something you can't grasp this. You can't grasp eternity. You think you can grasp eternity. You're crazy. I don't know what eternity... Do you know what that means? I mean, it lasts forever. Really? I mean, how do you grab a hold of that? I'm 43 years old. I'm sure I've got more life behind me than I have ahead of me because this life is temporal. The ability to go check a fly ball is leaving me quickly. The ability to run real fast is already gone. What is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little while and vanisheth away. You know your life is temporal. How can you then put to thought our life being eternal? But we're going to be in heaven someday, and it's going to be that. Isn't that wonderful? I want you to look with me at Luke chapter 18, verse 30. Luke chapter 18 and verse 30. Verse 28 we'll start with. Then Peter said, "Lo, we have left all and followed thee." And he said unto them, "Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or parents or brethren or wife or children for the kingdom of God's sake who shall not receive manifold more in this present time and in the world to come life everlasting." Your life, if you're saved in here, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, you may cease to live here. But your life ceasing here is not going to stop you from living there. It's a thing of faith to come to the realization that God has taken care of our eternity. It's not something you hold on to. It's not something you grab a hold of. We don't have that ability. But God does, and he's given us eternal life. Can you imagine heaven? Can you imagine God, who's probably a pretty good builder? Just a thought. And Jesus says, "Behold, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there ye may be also." Revelation gives us a kind of a glimpse into it. Streets of gold. Can we honestly imagine what that's like? Gold so pure it's as transparent glass. Can you grab a hold of that? Can you grab a hold of walls of precious gemstones? And I got to believe that there's no blemishes in those gemstones like we have. I don't think they have a rating for the diamonds in that wall. I don't think they have a carat weight significant enough to tell you how the foundations of the wall of heaven are. And yes, we get excited about right now, if you had a big bar of gold, you'd be the happiest person in the whole wide world. You'd run right down to the pawn shop and say, "How much can I get for this?" I'm going to tell you right now, you get a hold of that bar of gold in heaven, that's pavement. Can you imagine Main Street, Freedom Street? Can you imagine Freedom Street being made of gold? We'd get nothing done around here. We'd just show up with a pickaxe and start just chopping it up. See, what's amazing to me, the things that we put value on so significantly in our lives, in heaven is waiting for us as scenery. In heaven is that place that he's preparing is so far beyond anything we could even think in our heads. It's so far beyond, and it's all been prepared for sinners. It's all been prepared for people that are not worthy. It's all been prepared for us who think in some odd way, and every once in a while, God was glad to get us. We've all thought it. We've all thought God was lucky to get me. You've all had it in your minds. You say you don't, but you know you do. Man, I do so much around here. Woohoo! God called the right guy. I'm going to tell you right now, you're a sinner just like everybody else. And God's prepared a place for you in your sinful ways and sinful faults. And God says, hey, not only am I going to prepare a place, I'm not going to remember your sins and iniquities anymore. I love you that much. And I don't have a room like the NIV says. Go ahead and hold on to that NIV if you want. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Well, in Jewish tradition, a mansion was actually called a room. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. If God wanted it to be room, he'd have said room. It's a mansion. Why would God make sheds for us? Isn't that the craziest thing you've ever heard? God's going to spend all this time preparing sheds. Huh? He hasn't been around for a while. Amen? Behold, I go to prepare a place for you. I believe that was at least 2,000 years ago. Was it not? I'm just surmising. 2,000 years God's been building. 2,000 years God's been preparing a place for us. 2,000 years God's been saying, this is what I'm going to do. I think he's got the plan all settled. I think he's got everything waiting for us. Sinners. Sinners. Isn't God good to you? Man, you'd stop thinking about this old dirty rotten life if you start thinking about that old life that's waiting on us. You'd stop getting sad sack and start getting all happy all over again if you'd realize you're going to a place where there's no sin. You're going to a place where there's no heartache for eternity. How's that possible? I don't know. I'm glad it is. Because I'm tired. Come on. You see this world getting worse and worse. The world's waxing worse and worse. You can't believe it's getting better. This electronic age has not helped this world. It's made it worse. Come on, you know it's true. Sin is becoming easier and easier to do. You've got anything you want on that little screen in your house. You've got anything you want. You just type something and it's in there and you got it. You could put Guinness Book of World Records for the largest booger and it'll come right up. I promise you, Wikipedia, something will bring it up. I don't care what it is. Sin, it'll come right onto your screen, no problem. And you believe you're alone and all those things. Man, I'm going to be glad to get out of this world. Man, I'm going to be glad to get out of that heartache. Man, I'm going to be glad to get out of the pain and the torment. Man, I'm going to be glad to get out of the sin. Man, I'm going to be glad when the devil is cast into that lake of fire forever. Man, I'm going to be glad when he's not in charge anymore. Man, I'm going to be glad when God comes back and gets us. Man, I'm going to be glad when I get to heaven. Man, I'm going to be glad it's eternity. Man, I'm going to be glad when my sins are gone. Man, I'm going to be glad to be up there where there's no meatloaf.
Well, glory, I'm glad I'm saved.
And in John 3:15-16, whosoever believeth in him, doesn't matter how bad you are. See, just as many people as think that they're good enough to merit heaven and are wrong, I believe there's even more people that know that they're not good enough. And you live with that guilt every day. I'm going to tell you, your Lord loves you enough to forget it all. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world. That's everybody. Is there anybody not included? Pick the worst people in history. He loved Adolf Hitler. And Adolf Hitler has got to be the most wicked man next to Judas that has ever walked the earth. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever, there's no contingencies here. There's no buts here. There's no ifs here. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Your life is everlasting. Your life is eternal. Yes, you may die. is appointed unto men once to die. After this, the judgment. You're going to die unless the rapture comes. And if you die and take your last breath, according to Scripture, you will have at least two angels waiting for you if you're saved. At least two angels. It's probably going to take more than that to lift me up. But they're going to take you, and you're going to close your eyes in death here and open up your eyes to life there. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I love that. Now, just bear with me for a minute. I've read that scripture a million times because I read it before every funeral. It has more to do with your life than it does with death, by the way. But I read that verse, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I look at that. And I see Jesus. Just take this for what it's worth. I see Jesus coming with two sticks, thy rod and thy staff. I see him coming with two sticks, walking through the valley of the shadow of death. Thou art with me. Is that not what the Bible says? I see him having two, and I see him handing you one. Say, let's go for a walk, because I'm going to go with you. Both of us have a little walking stick. Walking through that valley, not alone. You'd think death would be scary. But I'm going to be honest with you, I don't believe it's going to be scary at all. I believe the Lord's going to give you a peace that passes all understanding, realizing, coming to the grips with you're about to go out into eternity. And he's going to come with you. What a wonderful God we have. What a wonderful God we have that he's gone to prepare a place for us, and he takes care of everything. I mean, hasn't he taken care of you? He takes care of everything, even the transition from this life to the next. He takes care of that. It's so wonderful to know that we've got a God that doesn't just care about our life here on earth. He cares about our life after this. I'm so excited to know, and I hope you're saved today. Because if you don't know the Lord as your Savior, this is not afforded to you. Not everybody's a child of God. We're all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. If you don't believe in the Son of God, if you don't believe in Him, you're not saved. If you don't ask Him to come into your heart, you're not saved. If you don't confess your sins, you're not saved. If you don't have a place that you can remember that you went to and ask God to come into your heart and save you, you're not saved. And if you've got a doubt in your mind, you better get that settled before that day comes. You must understand, the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It's nothing you can do. I'll get right first. You know how many times I've heard that? I'll get right first. I'm going to clean up my life. I'm going to clean up my life, preacher. I'm going to clean up my life. And when I clean up my life, I'll start coming and I'll get saved. No, you won't. No, you won't. Now's the time. Whosoever will. It doesn't matter what point of life you're in. Whosoever will. Let God clean up your life. He wants to take you just as you are. Look at John chapter 5. I love this verse. John chapter 5 and verse 39, the Bible says, search the Scriptures. See, all of this stuff I'm telling you, I've got authority of the Word of God. You don't have authority if you're preaching out of the wrong Bible. You're going to think you got a room. I'm preaching out of the Word of God that tells me I've got a mansion. I want to have the truth. I've got to have the truth. The Bible says, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. That's where that life comes from Jesus Christ. We have that wonderful joy of knowing that this life will soon be past. But the life that we have with Christ will last. Can you imagine getting to see him? There's several folks that I want to see. I really do. I want to see Paul. I got to be honest with you, he's my favorite. And the reason he's my favorite is because he's willing to tell you he's a wretched man. I love that about him. I love it about Paul that he's willing to tell you he's a wretched man. He's not like the folks that think they're the Pope that don't think they're wretched. I'm talking about a man who is probably the most significant missionary other than Jesus Christ in the Scriptures, probably the most significant missionary, probably the one that did the most for the Lord. And he was one of the fellas that crucified and chastised and imprisoned and beat Christians. He certainly doesn't deserve any love from the Lord. He served Jesus Christ his whole entire life, realizing he was a wretched man, and realizing that Jesus Christ still had something for him to do. Realizing how much Christ loved him, realizing how much Christ... We use the excuse of being a sinner for not serving God, but I've got to be honest with you, that's a cop-out. Because every one of us are sinners, so if every one of us are sinners, you say, well, you don't sin as much as I do, Brother Dave. You don't know what I do. But I got to be honest with you, I'm not sure that how much one sins is relevant to this situation. You're a sinner. Period. Get out of the sin as much as you can, but understand this, we've got a job to do. And that life that we have here, I love Paul. Can't wait to meet him. I want to be able to ask him questions. I want to talk to him. I want to see him. I can't wait to see David. I can't wait to see him. I cannot wait to see Moses. Oh, my soul. Moses, what was that like? What was that like standing there at the edge of the Red Sea? And the waters parting with that wind. Did you feel the wind? I could you imagine that? I'm sure Moses' beard went all crazy when that wind came. Can you imagine that? Moses, did you see fish while you was walking? How dry was that ground? I can't wait. But I'm going to tell you, all of the wonderful people you get a chance to meet and see, it's going to take us an eternity to thank God and thank Christ for what He's done for us. I'll never forget stepping off the plane in Hawaii. Smelled different. It stinks here. We've got the Ravenna aluminum plant just down the street. It smells. We flew to Hawaii and it seemed like it took 8 years to get there. Plane landed. We banked and I looked. I said, good night, that's pretty. Water looked like Windex. You kidding me? We've got muddy water here. They got Windex. Plane comes in and lands. We stepped off the plane. The first thing I did was go, man, it's beautiful. What a wonderful smell. And I was on the tarmac, probably the most stinky place in the whole island, and it smelled good. Always smelled good. No industry there. Always smelled good. Wherever you went, beautiful all the time. You know, that's nothing compared to heaven. Can you imagine taking your first breath in heaven? Your last breath very possibly is going to be in a hospital. Hospitals stink. Can you imagine your first breath in heaven? How wonderful it's going to be. There's no stink there. How wonderful it's going to be. How great it's going to be. We get to have that forever. Forever. I get to have an eternity of that life. Not because of me, but because of Him. Can you think how wonderful eternity is going to be? Can you see your life is never going to end? Your life is going to go on for eternity. You say, I don't understand that. Neither do I. But embrace it, because that's what it is. God is so very good to us. I want you to look at one more, John 10:28. This is some of my favorite verses to use when I'm talking to somebody about the Lord. Because I've sat several people at my desk and talked to them about, they're asking me, how in the world can you believe in eternity? How can you believe in eternal security? How can you believe that? Because you will make mistakes. And I said, yes, I will. But I want you to read this with me. And I know I've read this before, but we need to understand that's not in your hands. Look at this now. My sheep hear my voice, verse 27, and I know them, and they follow me. and I give unto them eternal life. Nothing that you got, nothing that you earned. I give unto them eternal life. And they shall what? Never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Jesus Christ puts you right here and closes that hand around you. Now, I'm not the strongest man in the world, but I believe it'd be very difficult to get this fist to open up. How much harder then do you think it would be for Christ to get his hand opened up when inside of it contains the soul of man inside my hand? But that's not enough. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, that's God the Father, which gave them me is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Folks, that is eternity. Inside of Christ's hand, enveloped in God the Father's hand, wrapped around with the Holy Spirit's grace and mercy, is you and your soul. No man. By the way, that no man includes you. How's that possible? I don't know. But what I do know is that it's true. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for everything you do for us. Oh God, your eternity is amazing. It's incomprehensible. We don't know. We can't even grab it. But Lord God, I'm just going to go ahead and believe it anyhow, because I know I'm a sinner. I know I don't deserve anything you give me, but I sure am glad of all of it. Oh God, please. Please, Lord. Please don't let your mercy stop. Please don't let your righteousness stop. Oh God, you've promised us they're going to be eternal, and I'm so thankful for that. Lord God, please help us to know how much that you love us. Lord, please be with my pastor today. We need to hear from him. Speak through him in a great way. Anoint him. Give him strength. Give him the ability to preach. I'm so glad he's excited about this morning's message, and I am too. Lord, be with him. Anoint him from on high. Let him know that you love him. And folks, let us be receptive. Let us be ready. Let us have our hearts open, ready to hear your word. And oh God, we sure do love you. Thank you so much for loving us. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.